InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 49 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Miriam Pleninger, the Director of Didactics at Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that offers 14 languages via in-app learning on mobile devices and computers. In the interview, we talked about language learning and using new technology and the rapid growth that Babbel has and is experiencing and the challenges that brings with it. The Babbel story is a really inspirational one, and to find out more, as well as how Miriam started as the only person editing language content to managing a team of 130 within only 6 years, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Miriam Pleninger. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored to have here with me today, all the way from Berlin in Germany, we have Miriam Pleninger from Babbel, Director of Didactics. So welcome, Miriam. It's a privilege to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege for me as well.
Yeah. So for our audience, Babbel is a language learning service that offers 14 languages right now that you can learn through their app. And Holger Seim from Blinkist suggested that we get you on this podcast. So big hello to Holger.
Hello from me as well. I know him quite well.
Yeah. Now, I understand Babbel is made up of a team of over 450 people from all parts of the world. You have offices in Berlin and in New York at this stage. And so can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So when I started at Babbel in 2009, it was actually a team of 10. When I, for my interview, I was in kind of a shared flat. It was still a bit grubby, garage style. And now we've grown to a 450 people business. With my team, the didactics team, comprising 130 people across the internal and freelance team, across our different language pairs, the 8 display languages and the 14 learning languages. So we've had quite a growth.
And rapid growth as well. So when did you start?
The company actually started in 2007.
Yeah.
Went to market in 2008 and I joined in 2009. Yeah, in 2007, one of our founders was looking for a Spanish app on the web and actually didn't find anything, a Spanish learning app. So they saw that there's a big opportunity to grasp, and they took it, and that made us the number one language learning app on the web, really, and of course on the mobile devices as well.
Yeah. Okay. And you speak quite a lot of languages yourself, I noticed. So you have 4 languages that you learned pre-Babbel, is that right?
Yeah, pre-Babbel I learned English and French and Latin and Norwegian. And when I started off at Babbel, of course everyone was doing everything, and I was doing all the editing and all the project management for all the different languages we had on our plate. At the beginning it was 5 times 5 learning languages, and then we steadily grew the language pairs. So in the first few years, I learned many languages through editing and producing language content for Babbel, which is still quite a treat when I go abroad and can order my coffee in the learning language or in the language of the country.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. So what's your background then? When you were a young child, what did you want to do when you grew up?
So when I was a young child, I was really a bookworm. So I spent a lot of time at the library, carried home a basket of books every week, true story. Read a lot, always loved languages. But of course, the edtech industry back then wasn't really there, or at least not in my life. So at university, when I was studying media studies and English, intercultural and European communications, one of my teachers asked in the seminar if there was someone who speaks English and understands how to use the internet, and I said, that's me. So I started producing what was then called e-learning for a university company. And from then, that became my career path. And I've been working in educational media since then,
mm-hmm.
for different publishers, always around languages or interculture. In 2009, I joined Babbel, I'm running the didactics team, which has grown a lot. People-wise, language-wise, device-wise, platform-wise, that's kind of my story.
Yeah.
And the didactics team, what we do is we produce the language content for the app, and we also shape the methodology of language learning of Babbel.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about the methodology? Because I think there's a fascinating story there from what I was reading. First of all, with the technology, what's available today, that how learning of languages, but learning of everything, but in particular languages, is actually changing, and the opportunities that, you know, mobile devices provide that. But also, I think your model is very unique.
Yeah, so of course, through mobile devices, you can learn wherever and whenever, which is great. Switch platforms and stop when you need to stop learning, start again when you want to start again, start on the web, finish up on the mobile, and vice versa. That's, of course, a great achievement and brings language learning really into people's everyday lives, right? Makes language learning available to people who wouldn't have time or money to learn languages otherwise. So right now the edtech industry is, of course, changing a lot through what data can do, what computer linguistics can do, and of course we're looking heavily into this. But we are true believers of the human part of learning. We have this big team of experts, of language learning experts, of teachers, of native speakers, of authors with lots of teaching experience themselves, in digital ways, in live classes also, who create our content. We are in touch with our users through the customer service, through our user research team a lot. And we believe that this human part is so crucial to actually teach in a way that people can use what they learned in real life. And I believe that's really what differentiates us from other language learning methodologies and apps, that we really focus on making people conversational in their real lives outside the app, mm-hmm. and not just look into the in-app usage, right?
Yeah.
Do people return? Do people stick? That's, of course, important, but more important to us is that people can really apply what they learned in real life, and that they really, what we do really has a positive impact on their lives and connects people.
Hmm. And where are most of your customers?
Well, our customers are really across the world. Still a lot in Europe. We're growing heavily in the US, where we opened up an office to support that growth. We're also looking into the Latin Americas. So yeah, it's really across the world.
Hmm. Hmm. That's quite stunning growth, really, isn't it? And the unique thing about a language learning platform is there's demand in every country.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And of course, there's a different kind of story and different kinds of motivations in different countries. Look into Europe, where via a quick plane or train journey, you can be in another country within 1 or 2 hours, versus the US, where it would take a long while to get someplace else to cross the border, and where many people don't have a passport even, but where you have very big communities of language speakers, of different language speakers, right?
Mm.
So. Learning motivations really differ across the different markets we're in, and that's something we're working on to understand and to understand even better.
Yeah, that's right. And Are there any plans to expand Asian languages? Because then you bring up other challenges in terms of the writing and the characters.
Yeah. That's not something we're looking into right now. We published Russian as a language with a different alphabet, with a Cyrillic alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it for languages with different characters as for now. But okay. Of course, in the future, we'll have lots of other languages.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. So what are the unique challenges with the different alphabet?
Well, on the different devices, of course, you have different keyboards. And people across the world have different sets of letters on their keyboards also. So you need to look into the different letter systems and different kinds of hardware on different kinds of mobile devices. You look into the soft keyboards that mobile devices can provide. So we have different solutions for mobile devices versus usage on the browsers on computers. We have a letter mapping, so you can use the Latin alphabet to get the Cyrillic alphabet on the screen, because we want to make language learning as easy as possible to our users. We don't want them to reset their language settings on their computers, right? We want to keep the entry barrier. We want to teach the alphabet in an easy way and not get people bored in traditional classroom settings. When you learn a language with a different alphabet, you often get a printout of the alphabet and get the task to learn that straight away. I actually did a quick summer course on Arabic a few years ago, and I got a table of all the characters to learn within 2 days, which of course I didn't. Then the course got immensely difficult.
Yeah.
Because it was expected that I knew the alphabet. So what we do with Russian is we teach the alphabet along the way. We don't start off with all the letters, expect people to learn the letters, and then go into vocab work. We connect the alphabet learning with the vocab learning, with preparing people for actual situational context they will encounter in real life. So we always make learning relevant. Alphabet learning, grammar learning, vocab learning is always connected to real life.
That's a good model. I really like that. I traveled a lot in Asia, it's quite humbling when you go to somewhere like China, out of the major cities, or Korea, where I was quite a lot. Not only is it a foreign language, but you're illiterate as well, so you can't read anything, which is quite humbling. And so the challenge of learning a little bit of the language to converse with people is one thing, but then actually learning to read a few signs so that you can find your way around is actually another challenge altogether.
Yeah, but that's also so it's so good when you track a situation like this in real life.
Yeah.
And that's also for languages which use the same alphabet you have in your native language, that you're suddenly so proud when you understand something, or when you can have your first small dialogue. And that's really the moments we're working towards, that people are proud and confident to use their language in real life. And use can mean understand, use can mean speak, use can mean just listen and understand, read and understand, using any of the communicative skills, really. That's what we're pointing at.
Yeah. Okay, well, now what's your sales process in terms of building your subscribers?
Let me briefly think about that. So, we have a subscription model with a price range from $4.95 to $9.95, depending on how long the subscription would be. Right. Many people use the longer subscription forms, and we really keep most of our users for a long time. Right now, we have over 1 million paying subscribers on the platform, which we're very, very proud about. Yeah.
And is there just one subscription, or is it per language module?
You usually buy all content for one language.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes also have offering across several competitors, but the usual model is that you buy a subscription, a monthly, three monthly, or longer subscription for one of the languages. You would have one. You would have all content available. Mm-hmm. As a demo, you will get the lessons one for free and can try out our product.
Okay.
And after the lessons one, the paywall comes and you decide if you go into the subscription.
Mm.
But $4.95 is really a low entry price, so we get many people in. And what's really important is that we don't have any ads. We are a pure premium product, and I guess that also makes a big difference.
Mm.
The product itself is ad-free.
Yeah. So it's the scale of subscribers and also the retention of the subscribers that's important to mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, definitely. Get people on, keep people busy, keep people happy.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you see as the biggest challenges in a business like this?
The biggest challenge for me has been keeping up with this immense growth. We've been growing so much throughout the last few years. Really from that 10 people company to 450, it's been quite a way.
Mm.
As I said in the beginning, I did most of the editing myself. And now I'm managing this big team of 130 people. And the other departments are, of course, also growing heavily. So we need to define and redefine who does what the roles are, what ownership for different topics is, how we communicate quite frequently and adapt to the growth of the company, add structure, take the structure away.
Mm.
That's daily business right now, to keep up with the growth, and that's the biggest challenge right now.
Yeah, so what
from a business perspective.
So what kind of systems and processes have you put into place to manage that rapid mm-hmm. growth?
Yeah. So what's really important to me is that we have very clear roles and ownership for different topics, that people know what they are doing, that people have their fields in which they take their own decisions without management going into different directions, right? So that people have very clear roles and responsibilities, ownership for different topics is quite clear. You need a good balance of planning and flexibility. What still worked just recently, for example, in content development, quite traditional waterfall project management planning doesn't work today with the grown team and the grown department interfaces. So as a practical example right now for content development, we combine traditional publishing project management with clear timetables, what to do when, who to do what, with backlog approaches we got from Scrum.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a fascinating approach. So what do you see as one of the most innovative things you do in the business today? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of innovative things there, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
In terms of that rapid growth and managing the things and then pushing the boundaries, what do you see as one of the big ticket items?
We were quite innovative from the start when we saw that there's a gap in digital language learning and filled that gap, brought language learning online. Making language learning, bringing it to a cloud-based service so that you can really learn everywhere and anywhere. But of course, that's not it. So we're experimenting a lot how to bring language learning to the next level, trying out lots of things. And an example is that we're experimenting around bot conversations right now.
Did you say bot conversations?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, and what's also a great tool for innovation here is that we bring people from different departments together regularly for hack days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people come up with their ideas, they find colleagues who they can get on board. And then they get one day of concepting, of hacking, and of having a piece of running software in the evening to present to everyone. And we got lots of great ideas from that.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also involves lots of pizza.
Pizza and beer. All right, well, this is fascinating, and we'll definitely have links in the show notes to Bubble, and people can take advantage of the trial that you offer there. It's certainly an interesting app, and I encourage people to explore it some more. I think learning language is something that there's a lot of people in the English-speaking world that only speak English, and mm-hmm. it would be great to see a lot more people in the English-speaking world learn language, but also right across the world, because communication and understanding across cultures is something that we can all benefit from.
Exactly. So we would love to get even more customers from the English-speaking markets on board. As you said, it's not so close to the English native speakers as it is, for example, for the Germans or for the French.
Yeah.
But it opens up so many possibilities in the world. It really opens up your world, and you can connect to people in really new ways if you know if you know just a bit of a foreign language. It really can change your life.
Definitely, and I can vouch for that. Just making the effort to understand and say a few things in somebody else's mm-hmm. language when you're visiting that country is gets you so much respect and so much the communication is just different on a different level.
Exactly. It really opens doors, and it's good for connecting with people. It's also good for yourself. It makes you so confident and proud if you can achieve conversations like this.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, this has been fascinating, Miriam. I think we should move on to our innovation round, which is designed to mm-hmm. help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got mm-hmm. five questions I'm going to ask you, and hopefully you'll mm-hmm. have some really good answers for us. So what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Okay. So it's really important to listen what's happening around you, what people are saying, what they get frustrated with, what they get excited about, solve actual problems. And yeah, by listening, you'll have an ear for inspiration everywhere, right?
Mm. Yeah, great advice. Solve real problems. I like that. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas? You talked about mm-hmm. Hackathon before.
Actually, hackathons, yeah. So we really don't have a shortage of new ideas, with having so many people from different countries and from different fields of expertise under one roof in the company. The tactics, product engineering, customer service, marketing, everyone here. So we never have a shortage of great ideas from our experts and from our customers, but to actually develop those new ideas, the best thing is to really support people to join forces across these disciplines, not to work in a silo, but join forces, work together, and that way bring ideas to life. Especially important in a grown business where everyone is sitting around one desk.
Yeah, that's great advice. So, yeah, get people working together, and also, you know, new ideas are only ideas until they actually become reality or come to life. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your favorite tool or system for improving your productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as I said, people. It's not really about tools, it's about people. Mm. Having clear initiative ownership, having flexible resources, that way we can really innovate and work productively. Tool-wise, I already talked about traditional publishing, project management, and backlogs. We use Jira quite a bit. which is a quite powerful tool which can do many things. So it's also, and of course, a tool just comes to life with people. So we use that to connect people and to create lots of clarity across departments, share knowledge. We even have internal communications knowledge management team in the company, which I think is not not what every company does. So knowledge sharing, bringing people together, is really, really at the core of what we do.
Yeah, that's I really like that. I mean, it's everything is so consistent with the company, and from what I can hear from your interview also, there's a very strong value around knowledge sharing and building knowledge, obviously from the product itself, from developing language knowledge, and then through to managing that within the organization. So I really like that.
And to keep up with the growth, keep the growth sustainable, of course, we need to continue connecting people and sharing our knowledge.
Okay, and what's the best way, you know, to keep a project on track?
So you need quite some alignment on what you actually want to do between all the stakeholders and everyone involved. So alignment on scope and deliverables is really, really important. And then, everything around communication I talked about. Keep people in the loop who need to take decisions on the interface of a project, right? Have clear roles, who does what. Do traditional project management, which is really not a bad thing, where it makes sense. Have deadlines and time schedules and things like that. but detach from them where they stand in the way. I think that's crucial.
Okay, that's great advice. And again, you know, the what comes through is how important people are to this whole thing, which I think, you know, is something that we shouldn't forget anywhere, but in your business, it's really crucial.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
They should think big. And at the same time, be very concise, which is not easy.
Yeah, I like that. Think big,
make
but be
sure
concise.
Make sure that people are heard, back up their convictions with data and facts. And I think most importantly, as a company, take, in our case, the learners, the users' actual needs really, really seriously. So don't start from your subjective point of view, but really put the customer, the user into the center, and find out what they actually have problems with, what they actually need, and differentiate yourself by bringing that into the center and think big, be concise. That way we can really change the way the world learns.
Yeah. That's good. I really like that. Although it is a little bit sad that, and you're not the only one that's given me this advice, which is to listen to your customers and take them seriously. It's a little bit sad that that's a differentiator. I would have thought, you know, any good business should be doing that all the time, but unfortunately, that's not the reality.
Yeah, that's also, of course, a reason why many businesses fail, right? Because they don't solve
that's
problems.
Exactly. All right, so what do you see as the future for Bubble?
So I see us continuing on that growth path. I see didactics growing further, supporting languages and learners' needs across the world. We are already active across the world, but we're stronger in some countries than others. So there's still lots of market potential for us to crack, lots of different learning motivations to crack, lots of different learner types to go into. So there's quite some future ahead. And of course, with computational linguistics on the rise, we need to reinvent ourselves again and again, how we connect data-driven learning with human-centered learning, still keeping the human in the center.
Yeah. Okay. And are there any plans to go beyond language learning and into other subject matters?
No, we've thought long and hard about this, but yeah. There's so much to do around language learning. We'll stick to language learning.
That's right. So that's the thing, big and be concise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, this has been a really fascinating interview, Miriam. What's the number one piece of advice that you'd give to any business owner that wants to be a leader in their field?
I think that connects to many things I already said.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, take your learners' needs seriously, talk to them. We have a big customer service in-house. Have a constant dialogue with our users. So, yeah, find out what they need and talk to them.
Mm. That's right, and then focus on delivering what they need. That's great, yeah.
Thanks.
All right, well, thank you for all that you've shared with us today. Where can people reach out and say thank you?
You can reach me on Twitter, at MIPLIE, MIPLIE. Maybe you can add.
Yeah, we'll add the links. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll add the links to the show notes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and finally then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Mm-hmm. So there's another cool Berlin-based company called AgeFit. It's a fitness coaching app, and actually fitness, sports, and language learning have quite some bits in common. Doesn't look like it really from the outside, but it's all about improving yourself, and that's quite challenging for many people. People would like to see themselves mastering sports, mastering languages. We need to lower the entry barrier and with our different kinds of expert knowledge, take people by the hand, right?
Mm.
So in AgeFit, I would recommend you to talk to Pablo Villalba-Vila, so the CEO and co-founder. I think will be a fascinating interview.
Okay. All right, Pablo, so we'll come and look for you, courtesy of Miriam, and see if we can get you on the podcast. So I've just opened up the their website, and it looks quite
mm-hmm.
fascinating. I'll explore that some more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Miriam, this has been really interesting and fascinating to learn about Bubble some more. I've seen the app for quite many years and I've played with it a little bit, but to learn about
mm-hmm.
the company and to find out about that amazing growth has been really interesting, and I'm mm-hmm. sure that the information you've shared will be really interesting to our audience as well. So thanks very much for your time, and I wish you all the best with Bubble, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, let's keep in touch. Thank you too.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed meeting Miriam as much as I enjoyed this interview and learning about how Babbel manages such rapid growth. It's a fascinating story and there's lots of valuable lessons in this for all of us. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Babbel. That is B-A-B-B-E-L. All lowercase or one word, innovabiz.com.au/Babbel. For all of the links and everything that we spoke about in this episode. Miriam suggested I interview Pablo Villalba, one of the founders of 8Fit, and as I found out, also one of the founders of Redbooth, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Pablo, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Miriam Plininger. Thank you for listening. Pop over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. And while you're there, you might like to leave us a review because reviews help us get found and your feedback helps us to improve. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future podcast, please send them to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.